You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Black women are just as good at doing jobs of almost any sort as anyone else.
No.
It's a lie, says the future Attorney General of the United States. Oh, God.
Yeah. Like, this movie, Hidden Figures, is set in 1961 or 1963.
You know,
or so.
Before 2017, where we rolled back the clock on all this.
You know, America was great, guys.
You know, I mean, like, they're still going, like, oh, yeah, there's colored bathrooms, there's separation, and there's, like, a racism going on there. But, like, you know, the movie, probably with a certain degree of rose-colored glasses, is like, oh, you know what? They kind of got over it faster than other people, and you're like, well, yeah, it is a collection of incredibly smart people, so I'm not that surprised.
We gotta beat the Russians, so it's like, oh, put aside the fact that we all hate each other.
We'll hate you again as soon as we beat the Russians.
We hate the Reds more than we hate the Blacks. Just wait until 1989.
To be fair, a white Russian is much tastier than a black Russian.
You shut up, racist.
But it's brown, though.
Well, and you know, it's we tend to think, because the military segregated earlier than most of American things did, we tend to think of it as a little bit more, you know, well, they were more free-thinking that way. And it's like, no, Langley Air Force Base, where this is set, this is before we have a problem, Houston. NASA's is still pretty much, you know, focused here. And it's in Virginia. It's in the Deep South. Virginia, the state that went, oh, Brown versus the Board of Education? Fuck that. We're still segregated.
We're just not going to count that.
Yeah, exactly. They actually have a judge in this say, like, you know, well, the Supreme Court might have had something to say about that, but fuck them. That's where we are. And you're like, yeah, this is Virginia. Does that really turn out well for you when you say shit
that? Actually, you know, an interesting perspective on the fact that back then, the idea of states' rights, which goes all the way back to the fight between, like, Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson, was still, like, it was such a contested issue that people were kind of like, yeah, I guess we're just going to let that go because we don't want to start a battle or anything. And now it's still the talking point for the entire right. And yet now, generally speaking, the federal government is like, no, you don't get to decide for yourself.
Yeah, we'll let you do that when you stop being racist.
Well, anyway, this particular story follows three real-life African-American mathematicians, Katherine Johnson, who shockingly is still alive. She's like 98 or 99 now, something like that. She was just given the Presidential Medal of Honor by Barack Obama. And her two friends and colleagues, Dorothy Vaughn and Mary Jackson, all played respectively by Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, and Janelle Monáe. And quite well, I thought, actually, although, like, I will say, once again, this whole film is definitely rose-colored glasses to some extent. We're dealing with it's a comedy more than it's a drama.
I mean, and to an extent, like, anything that takes on this big of an issue and, you know, is about this historical event is always, you know, there's going to be serial numbers filed off and things are going to be rosier than they actually were.
You got to take your grandma to it. So.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, is, like, there's a lot of 12 Years a Slave out there. There's a lot of Birth of the Nations out there. There's a lot of Lovings out there. This is the film that's like, hey, you're going to laugh and have a good time during it and still come away going, wow, black women are just as good at doing something as everybody else are, which, you know, it has its own place.
Yeah, your white guilt won't be too intense.
They kind of go out of their way to redeem any white character in this that does something bad. Like, by the end of the movie, they're like, oh, I was wrong along.
This is definitely a can't we all just get along sort of a message film, as these three women who were top level mathematicians gradually work their way up through NASA during the period when we were fighting with the Russians, trying to make sure we could get one of our guys to rotate the Earth eventually, of course, leading up to the moon.
Yeah, in the early 60s.
Yeah, in the early 60s. And this is the type of film that you bring your little girls to, who come out of it inspired, going like, oh my God, this is a film that's not going to bore you. I guess that's the thing, the accessibility of it and the fact that for that type of film, it's a thoroughly enjoyable, lighthearted type of comedy is part of why I like it as much as I do. I think it's going to sell to people who need to hear it and need to have access to these sort of messages who don't necessarily get something quite like this.
No, I completely agree. Like, I saw this movie a month ago. I know you guys just saw this tonight, but it still stuck with me throughout the year. It's definitely on my top 10 list. And the thing that kind of just strikes me about it is that no one really gives a weak performance in this film. Mm. Like, yeah, of course, the three leads are fantastic, and I wouldn't be surprised if Taraji P. Henson gets an Oscar nom or any of her two co-stars get, like, supporting actress nominations. But, like, a nice call to Kevin Costner, who I think, you know, he's stretching.
The boss.
Yeah, he's not stretching himself, but it's a good performance. Yeah. And then even, you know, what's his name? Jim Parsons, who's very much kind of the villain.
Bad guy.
Yeah, he's a weasel, but at the same time.
Just like he is on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
But not as much like that. Not as annoying.
Just kind of racist.
Yeah. And we also have, I forget his name, but Kristen Dunst, again, is a kind of another villainous character.
Both of them are, they're not villainous villainous. They're just kind
of racist.
Like, yeah, they have that. There's a great moment where Kristen Dunst says to Octavia Spencer, I just want to let him know, I never, thought of you guys in, in any other sort of bad way. And she's like, aw, I'm sure you actually believe that.
Yeah. And I think they do a good job. I don't feel that this movie was sugar-coated. Yeah, there's rose-colored glasses. But as far as, like, looking at, how shitty white people could be to black people at that point. They're pretty unflinching about that, despite the fact that like I said, your three characters white characters who have, like, sticking points, they all end up kind of redeemed by the end. But there's definitely positions where you're just like, oh yeah, we're in the really racist South. And it portrays that, and it doesn't go out of its way, of its way to shy away.
There's no lynchings here. We're not dealing with that type of movie.
I mean, you're still in an Air Force base, for as much as the glasses are rose-colored, you at least see rose-colored warts.
Yeah. No. I mean, it definitely doesn't say, oh, this wasn't a thing, and everyone instantly went, how could we have been so wrong?
Yeah, nobody's going for, like, oh my god, you're a mathematical genius, we never knew. They're constantly kind of like, yeah, you're just, you're a numbers cruncher, get the fuck out of the way.
There's gonna be some people who are gonna come at this going, oh, Kevin Costner playing this white savior, and I don't really feel that's how he was used here, actually.
I think there's one scene that stands out, and everything else, he's kind of like...
Well, because they overplay it for drama. But like, generally speaking, he's like the guy who's a strict rationalist who's like, what the fuck? You guys are still being racist? We're trying to fucking beat the Russians. Yeah. Cut that shit out.
Which is a great moment in the movie when he has that kind of mini breakdown, when it's like all coming down to, like, we have to stop doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, guys, come on. Mm-hmm. Calm down.
Yeah.
Like, really, we have bigger problems than whether or not, like, the black person drinks coffee out of the same pot than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was in another movie, a more serious movie, you'd go, yeah. Mm-hmm. But in this film, which, like I said, is largely more of a comedy than it's not in a lot of ways, a dramedy, it's actually an audience-pleasing moment. And I feel like that's what this movie is all about. It's audience-pleasing. It's going to be very inspirational, especially to younger people. And there was nothing in here that really made me cringe. Even with the stuff I expected to cringe with, when they start getting into the, what's going on with the personal lives of the three lead characters, all that stuff, although it's not, essential to the other bigger story, it works, and it helps make their characters deeper and more, like, likable and interesting. It constantly keeps this sort of sense of light, sassy humor about itself that makes even the scenes where you're like, get back to NASA. You don't. You're like, I like all these people, even though you want to tell Katherine Johnson, it's like, Dad, get away from that guy. He's going to end up getting obsessed with Luke Cage.
I will say that there's just a few points in here that because they're trying to tell all three women's stories, and they're trying to give equal parts, and they're trying to also show, hey, this is how their lives were outside of the confines of NASA, that sometimes it's like, okay, maybe you're biting off a little too much to chew here. But, I mean, when you compare it to stuff like Apollo 13, which does the same thing in many ways, I thought they found a pretty good balance here.
Yeah, I think it grounds them to a certain extent, where it's like, the movie's not treating them like, oh, they're always icons, you know, that we have to always look up to. Like, no, seeing this is their family life, and kind of introduce, I think, Marcella Ali, like you just mentioned, as a love interest for Taraji P. Henson. I think he works. He's in it for, like, only a few minutes.
Man, that's this guy's year.
Yeah, he's been in everything.
He really does. I mean, you know, arguably, he might even have a little more screen time here than he had in Moonlight, but, you know, Moonlight
I think
is
so, yeah.
Incredible. He's incredible in and hopefully gets a nod, and, you know, obviously Luke Cage, so.
Yeah, he actually, as well, I will throw him in into the crowd-pleasing nature of this, because it feels like, I mean, the movie itself is like, dude, check out that beautiful man.
Yeah, if you're a single mother and you want some hardcore fantasy material, you go watch this motherfucker.
There's definitely, whereas, you know, generally speaking, this film was probably not designed for our interests. I think it crosses over to where anyone can really have a good, well, yeah. You know, maybe not Donald Trump and his cronies, but, you know, like most people will have a really pleasant time watching this film. And there's several points I laughed out loud during this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even a couple points I kind of missed it up a little bit. You know? Like going on into my final thoughts. Yeah. Good performances all the way around. Although, like I said, I feel like this is played more to be, 95% of it is played more for fun and having a good time and being inspirational than it is for being terribly serious. But that 5% of the time when it does go into, like, seriousness, like Taraji P. Henson has a great moment where she just breaks down in front of the whole crew, is like, yeah, what is wrong with you people? They pull it off. Mm-hmm. And it's a great balance. This is definitely, you know, it's not a film you can see getting nod for Best Picture only because of the fact that it is dealt with kind of in a lighter sense. But I could see it still being on an awful lot of people's top 10 of the year list regardless, because it's just a good time in the theater. It's smart. It's got everything you want. I give it a 9 out of 10 capsules plummeting to earth in flames.
Wow.
That's a good rating. Okay. I guess, yeah, just for me, just the fact that I saw this a month ago, it stuck with me the entire time. Like you said, Chris, I think that the humor works most of the time. And I think even though the film kind of plays it safe to a certain extent, what kept me invested in the film was just the performances, which are all great, even the supporting performances. So yeah, for me, I'd probably give this 9 out of 10 broken down cars.
This is definitely like if we had Black Ron Howard, this is the movie that he would deliver. it's very much a feel good, you know, cheer America while looking at some of our warts along the way. But a movie this is a crowd pleaser movie. It's a movie that you take the whole family to. It's a movie that is inspirational. Yeah, I mean, it wants to be liked, and it really succeeds in that. I mean, God, the guy playing John Glenn, they might as well have had Chris Evans in his Captain America uniform.
Yeah, Glenn Powell was also having a good year. He was in Everybody Wants Some. Mm-hmm. He was one of the lead characters in there, but he took away. And then on Scream Queens, he's one of the most, like, remarked upon, wow, that guy's a fun character on show. Cool. So he's having a good year as well.
He really turned in. It's just like, okay, well, if Chris Evans bows out, or if you need somebody to, in the next 5 years, you need somebody to stick into his shoes, you grab him. But yeah, it like I said, it's really hard not to like this movie, and why would you try? It's a good-hearted flick, and I had a lot of fun watching it. I give it 8.5 superfluous coffee urns.
No more racism / sexism. The final frontier. These are the voyages of, what the hell is the name of this movie again? Hidden Figures. Sorry, beer.